Rabbi Motti Posen.
Elul Be'etzem is a busy time. There's much to speak about with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, many different topics that can be discussed. I'd like to discuss today two individual topics. Be'etzem, I've got one thing to discuss, but before we discuss something completely unrelated, which I think it's quite important for people to know, and that is that with Rosh Hashanah approaching, everyone knows one of the most important things in Rosh Hashanah is dip the apple in the honey, something we can never forget about. Some people, that is their whole Rosh Hashanah. Dip the apple in the honey is a very exciting part, very integral part. Now, most people go to the shop and buy the good old-fashioned honey jar and the good old-fashioned apple, and it's very simple, the apple, the honey, very easy. But nowadays, where things are getting fancier and fancier, and in a way, because we're getting fancier, we run out of options, we're going backwards. So instead of getting processed honey, they sell honey in a honeycomb. That means they go to the beehive, they cut out a chunk of the actual wall of the beehive where the honey, the bees actually set their honey, it's within the actual honeycomb, and they put it in containers and they market that as a very fancy job. Instead of them pressing out the honey and selling in jars, they let you do the work and they charge you more. So those are honeycombs. You get them, you see them, they look like, I guess they look like honeycombs. You ever see the six-shaped, hexagon shape of a honeycomb? So you have a long bar and in it, it's loads of these little hexagon shapes, inside honey. How do you get the honey? So a lot of it drips up by itself, but you squeeze it, that's what they do. They have these big vats where they squeeze the honey into, and the honey comes out of the honeycomb. Now, well, it's very nice and easy. The problem is that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, there's an Issa Daraisa to squeeze a honeycomb. And if you want to extract honey from a honeycomb, is it Issa Daraisa? Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos Klapa Dosh, there's no difference. I always say over this, I had a friend who didn't want to use baby wipes on Shabbos, he was worried for Schita. So on Yom Tov, all the Malachas, most of them are Mutter, he uses baby wipes on Yom Tov. In fact, there's no difference. The same is on Shabbos as plans on Yom Tov in the Malach of Dosh. Squeezing lemons, baby wipes, honeycombs, whatever you're squeezing. There's no chiluk Shabbos and Yom Tov at all. Therefore, it would be Issa Daraisa on Shabbos, and Issa Daraisa on Yom Tov, Pasha Daraisa, Yom Tov may be Drabonon, because some Rishonim learn that everything's Mutter on Yom Tov, but there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, clap of this. So it comes to dipping your apple in the honey, you've got your honey jar with your honeycomb in, to squeeze out the honey from that, to be Issa Daraisa. Now, there are a couple of eaters. It's not so scary, you already have your honeycomb, you want to use it. It's not so terrible. Firstly, as we said, a lot of honey drips out on its own. If you pick up the honeycomb, you've got to be careful how you pick it up on Shabbos, because you might pick up, you might squeeze it. But if somebody managed to raise it with a sort of grate where the honey could drip through, you'll see lots of honey drips out. That honey is lechari, no problem. As in a Mayim Shazovu, you'll be able to use that honey on Shabbos on Yom Tov. But to squeeze out your tongue would be awesome. The Shari Tshuva is another chap. Also, a Pashta Eitzah, he says, the people use this honeycomb Rosh Hashanah, and people ask for it. He said, I don't know why they ask for it, I have a simple Eitzah. We know on Shabbos, you're allowed to squeeze anything, well, come on, anything, besides for Zeis and Vanovim, but lemon is a classic example. You're allowed to squeeze it straight onto food. Says the Shari Tshuva, if you dip your apple or honey straight into this honeycomb and press it on, it's like the honey's coming from the areas enclosed from the honeycomb, straight into the food. If something's squeezed directly into food, it's okay. So if you take your challah or apple and press it straight into the honeycomb, you'll have the head of the Shari Tshuva. The problem would be if you do it with a spoon, if you'd squeeze out any way of squeezing out, which is not directly into food, that would be awesome. So a lot of times you have a tall honey jar, and to get the honey, people put their spoon in, raise the honey and drip over the challah or the apple, whatever they're dealing with. So if you do that with a honeycomb, you'd press it and get it on the spoon, that would be awesome. But if you'd put your challah or apple straight into the honeycomb and get the honey from the honeycomb onto the food, the chorita v'heta of the liquid that goes straight, ma'ama bala oichel, you'd have the heta, you'd be mutter to do. So that's a simple eta. Two etas. Either use the honey that's already floating around, or put the food straight in, whereas the spoon is a problem. A lot of chassidim use this honeycomb. I was actually talking to a rav here in town. Chassid Rav asked him what they do. He says, always what they did during the years was they crushed up the entire thing. The honeycomb, with honey, they crushed it before Yom Tov. And that was one big mess, the whole thing. You dip your challah and you'll get honey, and you'll get honeycomb bits on it. So the honeycomb bits, you just, I don't know, spit them back out. But the honey is not absorbed, it's just one big mush out the whole thing, then it'd be no problem. But to extract it, be your time with a spoon, would be also on Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day you want to be careful. If you're going to do an aver, chaval, do it after Rosh Hashanah, you got a year to work on it. On Rosh Hashanah itself, it seems like a shame. So you want to watch out. Okay, that's one topic. It's important to know, important to tell people. If you use honeycomb, you have to be careful. Shalat Arisya. The next topic, completely unrelated, even though we're more than Lamed Yom Koit Vachag, it's very important to discuss this topic, and that is the mitzvah of sukkah. Why is it important to discuss it now? Because there are many people have problems and issues with their sukkahs, and if you wait till Erev Sukkah and you want someone to fix it up, you won't be able to find someone because it's very busy. Even now it's peak season, if you want to get a builder, a joiner. Now many, many sukkahs have a big problem. Now it's here in England where it's freezing cold, and many people don't want to have an old-fashioned outdoor sukkah like the canvas, the wooden sukkah, which they themselves have many issues. The main issue with these sukkahs are, if it's too cold to sleep there, if you can't sleep there, or cold, if it's too windy, wet, noisy, if there's any problem in the sukkah which you could have rectified before Yontif and you didn't, the sukkah is now possible for everything. I mean, if you have a sukkah that you can't sleep in, it's possible even for eating. Actually, you have a car that can't reverse. You say, it's still a good car. No, if it's not, can't reverse. I don't want to buy this car's invalid. I don't look at it as a car. A sukkah that you can't do all your regular uses and you can't stay in there for a week is a possible sukkah for anything you want to use it for. Unless it's something that cannot be rectified. Actually, I discussed what was very, very cold in Europe. And you can't survive the cold. You build a furnace within this temporary structure. It still would not keep you warm. Such a psul I can't do anything about. But something you can do something about, you put a heater in, you can make an inbuilt sukkah. That sukkah would be possible, was machloikas at least, but shanach basins is possible for everything. So people like to have inbuilt sukkahs. Now inbuilt sukkahs have many, many problems. In fact, it's rare to find an inbuilt sukkah that's fully kosher. People think I'm crazy when I say this, but if you look around, it's probably rare to see it. You might find one that's kosher going to some shitters, you might not even find that. I was in someone's house recently, he made a reception in his house, they were collecting for something, he had a nice big house, he had just done it up with a big nice sukkah in the middle. And I said to him, you know how many walls you need for sukkah? He said, yeah, three walls. I said, how many you have got? He said, yeah, I think I've got two and I could make a third. I said to him, my friend, you have no walls on your sukkah. He had no walls. Every wall had a problem to it and the sukkah was completely possible. So he thought he would swap just one last wall and have a third wall. There was no walls there at all. No, that's not a problem because it's a dearest array. In fact, it's got open roof. If I get, I think it's a big hit to have an inbuilt sukkah because then you'll live in it properly. The greatest chassid, the greatest tzaddikim, used to sukkah. They had the sukkah outside the house. Used to lock the front door of the house and open it 8 days later. The house wasn't the house, so we can't do that because it's very difficult. So you make an inbuilt sukkah where you live comfortably in your house and you can't admit it. Forget the boys can say you're not meant to put tablecloths, you should have the lights off in the house. You come into a house and sukkahs, there's nothing there, it's just a storage room. But the lights are off, the tablecloths are off, and the sukkah is the place you live, that is your house. And if it's not comfortable, you can end up going out. There was a big hitzel to make sure it's very, very comfortable. Forget the boys can point out that you should make sure everything you will ever need on sukkahs is there. So therefore, inbuilt sukkahs take a big hitzel, it's kedai to have one, but you got to be careful. Why is it so different? Because an old-fashioned wooden sukkah, you buy four big pieces of wood, there are your walls, put the schach when you're done. An inbuilt sukkah, you've got doorways in, doorways out, open plan, kitchens, windows, radiators, many, many different things, cupboards, and if you have a proper, the metal roofs, like the BST roofs, they will have a rim around the roof. So you've got many, many shilas. The old-fashioned sukkahs was four planks of wood, stuck together with a schach, went from wall to wall, all the way around, door in the middle, and you're done. That you can't really go wrong with. Besides the fact you might not be comfortable, could be an answer. The inbuilt sukkahs are very comfortable, but they might not be kosher. Therefore, it's kedai to check properly. I was in someone's sukkah, and he said, I looked at it, I said, the sukkah's possible, what's going on? So we know he called in a rov, and he said, it's fine. I couldn't work it out, spending time. I said to him, when did you call in the rov? He said, when he built it 10 years ago. I said, have you done anything since? He goes, yeah, I broke through here, so I took this wall down, and I made the open plan. Now that wall was one of the walls the rov said is good. Now he took it down, he didn't call the rov back. He's sitting in a pasul sukkah, his leg shaves, bracha latala, his sukkah is made. And like I said, every radiator, sink, window, Pesach kitchens people have a lot of times in the sukkahs, always have to be checked out exactly what to do and how to do it to ensure there's kosher. And many sukkahs are kosher, but people make a mistake, they make a sit all the way to the end, they have schach pasul, less than 3 tefachim, and you start making other cheshbonos, it doesn't always work so simply. They have doors to open, doors to close. One person told me, he called the rov around town and said the sukkah's fine, and he couldn't understand. He asked the rov, what's the threat? There's only two walls, and the rov misunderstood. He saw the back door. He didn't realize there was doors. He thought it was just long windows. He didn't realize there were patio doors. And the guy said, yeah, I'm going to open them on sukkahs. The kids go in, the kids go out. And then if you open those doors, you just put the whole thing's possible. You always held up what's going on. a very common problem, which people are already aware of, with all sorts of subgroups, where you have sliding, opening, the BSD type. If a lot of times you have walls on the sukkah, one here, one there, different types of walls, and you're relying on those walls for the caches of your sukkah. If you open one roof and not the other, you think I'm eating, it's just me, having breakfast, no one's around, I open one roof, I open two, or you slide it halfway open, you may have lost your wall because there's too much distance between the wall and the schach. When you open both roofs, it goes all the way to the walls. When you open one, you've got this big gap of plastic on top of your schach, and that schach is possible. So your schach, which is kosher, has a roof next to it, therefore it's too long till you hit the wall. So you must... So you've got to always be careful. Again, it's toilet on many, many things. It's toilet on... It's the best, the only way to ensure sukkah is properly kosher is you get someone who's a proper mumchah in sukkah, and they come around, and it should be a long job, it should be a good 10, 20 minutes, where they look around. So I'm talking about inbuilt sukkahs, which are complicated, and they look at every single different thing. You have a curtain rail, which could change everything. You have many, many small things that could change your sukkah. Therefore, any time you do a change, and like we said, you build a sukkah, it's all kosher. 5 years later, you put a Pesach kitchen in, you put a cupboard in, you always check again. Is it kosher, is it not? You always be careful. Things can change. The back door moves, they change the type of the door, put windows in, different windows, open the windows, close the windows. People sometimes have a plain glass window that doesn't open. And then a couple of years down the line, change to an opening window, open the window on sukkahs, they can make the sukkah possible. You'll always check out what you're doing. Okay, so we'll discuss slowly a little bit of the halachas of sukkah. So at least when you do call the rav around, you'll know what he's referring to, and you'll know what Shai has to point out to him. The first thing to know is that sukkahs, we know, well, the Ramah really says the sukkah should have four walls. Why does Ramah say you have four walls? Because of this. If you have four walls, you've only got one extra to help you out, and you're not relying on different lamdas that may not always work in every case. The best is four walls, but Ikadin, you don't need four, you need three. Three walls in a sukkah. Now, everyone knows a sukkah is better than two and a bit, so we'll call it three and we'll discuss through each wall. The first thing to know is you've got to have two walls which are untouchable. Two walls which are properly zayin tefachim wide, ten tefachim high, with no games on them, no shticks on them, two proper walls. Once you've got two proper walls, the third wall, we'll see that are halachic compromises you can do on the third wall. But the first two, as non-negotiable, you've got to have two walls. Not only must have two walls, but the most important halacha, which I think is the first problem you enter in sukkahs, is that these two walls must be a rave on. Everything's got to be touching. You've got one, and the other one perpendicular, they've got to be touching, these walls connected. If you have a doorway, window, cupboard, fire extinguisher, radiator, window, anything you've got in that corner, you may compromise the caches of these two walls, which means you don't have a sukkah anymore. So the first thing to do is you have two walls, they must be connected and touching. If you don't have two walls, they're completely flush, nice walls, touching, you're out. Many people have two walls touching, but the schach is not there, the schach is the other end of the room. Those two walls won't help you. They may help you sometimes with Dofin HaKumba, but with Derech Klal, those two walls won't help you. There must be two walls, 7 tvachim long each, touching, connected with schach right there. If there's any other combination, you're already entering big shailas. Now, many times, people have a sukkah. Many houses, I think most houses in Manchester, you walk down, I don't know, Stanley Road, Waterpark Road, many houses where they have the regular English house structure. It means you've come through to a double through room, and at the end they build the sukkah. Many, many people have this, a double room, and at the end they've got the sukkah, and then they've got back doors or patio doors to the garden, French doors, all different types of doors to the garden. Now there, if the back doors are open, so you have two walls, one on the left, one on the right, but we said the walls have to be touching and connected. The walls are not touching and connected here. So if you've got a back wall with one door in or two doors, or you've got loads of doors but they're closed, then you've got a connection. You've got a corner, a perpendicular corner at the back. If those doors are open, or if you have a room off that, right, one day you decide to extend, pull down the patio doors, continue the house. Now your sukkah has two walls, one on the left, one on the right, open plan in, open plan out, or back doors out. There's no two walls which are connected on an angle. Yes, that's another issue. It's a very, very big problem. This week we're very busy with that shaila. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute, hopefully. But we'll discuss that. That's windows which are inset and doors which are inset. Before we get to that, just simple, you've got to have two walls connected. If you have two walls straight through your sukkah, I had this sukkah, I changed it, my old sukkah, I had a long room, and at the back was a door that opened fully, come out the whole width of the sukkah. When that door's open, I don't have two walls connected. I have one on the left, one on the right. The back door's open, it's flying in the wind. What's going on? Where's the sukkah? Now, if you're a chacham, you say, do you know what? I'll leave the door closed. I'll even lock it. That's great. But last year, I went away and I gave my sukkah to someone else. Someone to stay in my house. I gave him my house. How do I get some gill of him? What to do? He doesn't know anything. He comes in. He thinks, oh, this sukkah is probably kosher. I'm renting off a nice Jewish man. Finally, opens the roof, opens the back door, wants a bit of air, the sukkah's parcel. So even if you want to be clever, many people say, I know what to do. I put this wood here, and I take that sink down, and I close that door. Fine. One day you get to Eretz Yisrael, your son-in-law comes, grandchildren come, people change, people move, people... And then they think, it was always kosher. I had my father, big tzaddik, everything was great. That's so long as they know what you did. It was kedai to ensure sukkah is kosher, whatever happens. Yeah, so it depends how much you have. So again, usually you have a lot of times your windows on the side, your support, so you don't know how much support you have. And when the schach, if the schach doesn't go till the walls, you can have as much as you like on either side of the door. There's no schach there. So you have a schach down the middle, you got a rim around the side, and the front door, the size of the door is by the rim of the roof. So the schach is straight opposite the door. So the schach has nothing opposite. You would always check, there's many, many combinations of this. And like I said, it's hard to find a sukkah that's fully kosher. So usually, that's another shayla. Can you open and close the door on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Oh, you got a mechitz on the terrace. You got a mechitz here which makes it shafts a new din. It makes it kosher sukkah. Can you open and close the door? People bring a raya from the roof. A roof, we know the Ramos is Tov Shechavav. The roof you can open and close. Now that Mishra points out no sheikhs. There you have a kosher sukkah. And on top of the sukkah is something stopping piece which has to be removed. No problem. The door, it's not really have a kosher sukkah. The door's open, there's no sukkah. Where the roof is a kosher sukkah, it's covered. When you think of a wall, there is no sukkah here. So it's much bigger shayla. So there are poskim that are machmeh, lemais, and most poskim are mekel. Someone who needs to close it, Shabbos and Yom Tov, lecher it can, if you want to be machmeh, ask a child, it's better. These doors, which are an integral part of the sukkah, no matter these two walls. No, that won't have to help you, because he's still making the mechita on the Yom Tov. Yeah, you've got another shayla, the door's open, but the schach on is a kosher. We have to close the door, then put the schach on. So it's kedai to always work it out when you build. Many, I had it just last week, a few months ago, this guy came to me and told me, he's building a sukkah. I said, let's discuss, I'll tell you. No, don't worry, no shayla, mine's beautiful, fine, everything's great. Are you sure? Yeah, very confident. Last week he came to me, it's all finished, he's all happy. And then someone pointed out to him that he's using the back wall, and he has windows there. Now we know 10 tefachim of chazanesh is a meter. Those windows were 95 centimeters high. Below the window. So that means his wall, which he wanted to use the actual brick, not the window was inset, wasn't kosher, he realized he missed it by 5 centimeters. Now 5 centimeters when you're building is another brick. After you finish building is a lot of work. So anyone who is building is kedai to find out properly. There's many, many details, and as you build, it's kedai to have someone you can bring around every few weeks as the building goes on and check the progress. As the progress goes, the everything stack is still kosher. This guy messed up on his sukkah with 5 centimeters. Seems like such a shame. Now, this shayla he asked before, we'll discuss it now, which is very negeh. Many people have around the side of their sukkah, if you have an inbuilt sukkah, it's come out always, you have a rim which the schach can't go on. The actual structure, the roof sits on a metal or brick, whatever frame, which is around the roof. And everyone knows that's schach basel, fine. Now, schach basel, normally you can't sit underneath. However, if it's less than 3 tvachim, 4 tvachim, machlekes, let's say 3 tvachim to keep it practical, less than, I don't know, 24 centimeters, let's say, which is a smaller shi'el chumra, you can see underneath, so you make sure you tell your builder, fine, I want the schach posel around the schach, that frame, less than 24. You work it out, build thicker walls, stick the roof on the walls, fine. So you can sit up to the wall, you have to tell people, oh, move in, move out, it's very easy, which again is kedai to do. Sorry? Centimeters, which again is kedai to do, because everyone can just sit where they like, rather than you come to the sukkah, don't sit there, don't sit there, don't go back, don't go forward. You run into complications. You've got a room 24 centimeters all the way around, or 23, better. No problem, you do what you like. The problem is, if you have a window that's inset, or a door that's inset, so now you have an extra piece, you look on a window, you've got an extra piece of ceiling which is above the window. Now, halacha is, you say chavoy rami. Chavoy rami means, when you have two levels of ceiling, we imagine that they're both the same height. So this level of ceiling on top of the window joins with that level of ceiling of the schach posel around the rim. So even though you've got the ceiling of the window and the ceiling around the sukkah, they join. Now you have more than 3 tvachim of schach posel. So to sit over here by the window, you've got 3 tvachim there and another, whatever, 2 tvachim, 1 tvach in the windowsill. Those two join with chavei rami. We say chavei rami l'chumra, one the only thing we say l'chumra. And now your sukkah is still kosher, used to have an akumah, as many a time you could use and say it's kosher, but you can't sit there. So if you have one window and there's a large wall, it might be okay, because you've got a large wall. If you have windows all the way along or a door that's completely inset, you're running into problems. So this guy with his 95 centimeters, he has windows, but now he can't sit to the window. Had he put another brick on, it would have been okay. So another thing to be aware of when you build, and you've got windows, you come in beautiful, what's the problem? Windows are old. Could be. But you might be able to sit up to the window. So there are many, many complications in every move and everything you do within your sukkah. Yeah, it could. There may be a tear if you have a meter above, a meter below, at all different times it could be okay. But every time you've got to check out properly, can you sit up to the wall with the shaz and inside window? So like we said, there's two walls you've got to have. Now, we were discussing before, you have two walls opposite each other, one on the left, one on the right, and a sukkah that's a through, straight through. We have back doors, but it's too far away from the schach. We said walls have to be connected. Now, there is a heter to have walls opposite each other. But this is very complicated, and it depends on many halachas. Therefore, someone who doesn't have walls which are on a 90-degree angle connected to each other must check up if it's sukkah's kosher, because many times it is kosher. But when it's two walls opposite each other and a third one further away, it's much more complicated. Lamashal, you've got a through room, and you've got a wall at the end, but on both sides is a doorway, or it's a sliding door. You've got points of access through that wall. So that wall is not a wall now, it's disqualified. It's got doors on it. You must check up. It could be still kosher, many times it's kosher. But if it's not two walls which are completely sealed together, you must check up if it's kosher. So you can have a very nice sukkah, and very innocently on one corner there's a door. That door knocks out your arevon, it knocks out your connection of the two walls, and you don't have any two walls connected. Your sukkah's now puzzle. Many times it'll still be kosher, but you must check up with a rav exactly if it's kosher or not. But it's kedai to be aware. So if you have a sukkah at the back of the house, completely sealed all three sides, it's the best. They built now on Shelton Crescent, these new houses, if you look, you'll see. Very impractical, but very clever. The back is a sukkah, all three walls are completely sealed, no shalar at all. And many times you'll find people building, like that sukkah, Tamid Chum, which you're building, you'll see the sukkah is completely sealed on three sides, which is the best. Once you have a back door off your sukkah, many, many problems. And many times, like we said, it could be it's not kosher. If the door's locked, it might be fine. Once the door's open, you run into problems. Can you open the door on sukkahs? Must the door be closed and the schach's going on? Many shalits you must be aware of. So those are the two walls. The third wall, everyone knows, you don't need a full wall. Rather, you need to have dalad tfochim, solid. And after that, it's a Pesach. Now, I came to someone's house just a few weeks ago, and he showed me a sukkah. And he had dalad tfochim. And for the Torah Pesach, we know Torah Pesach is very simple, like any doorway, two sticks like this, one on top. So he had a hatch to his kitchen, which means he had like a little window to his kitchen, which was taka 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim high, the proper Torah Pesach. But underneath it, he had a cupboard. That means you've got 4 tefachim, Torah Pesach, but Torah Pesach doesn't go to the floor. There's a cupboard, there's his kitchen. Now that cupboard raises the Torah Pesach off the floor. If it's raised off the floor, usually it's not Torah Pesach, which means the sukkah is possible. So I don't know what he was relying on all these years, but he said to me, look, my Torah Pesach, okay, there's a cupboard underneath, very practical. It could be practical, but it could be possible. You've got to have four tefachim, Torah Pesach to the floor again. Any of these changes you do from the straight and narrow, you must check up if it's kosher. Because like I said, many times you come to a sukkah, it might not be kosher. So that's the third wall. Two walls have got to be with no games. The third wall, four tefachim, Torah Pesach. The Adina of the Torah Pesach as well, it's kedai to check up if you are using this. If you have three solid walls, fine. And even three solid walls, like we said, could I have to check. If you have any radiators or cupboards or doors or windows or anything, could I have to always check. So if the two are even walls which are connected, you're allowed up to lovet. Always you're allowed lovet, which is lechumra 23 centimeters. And so the first two walls have to be 7 each, at least 7 tefachim, which is 70 centimeters. Lechumra, say 70 centimeters. And again, the schach's got to be there. Like I said, I was in a few people's house, and they're very nice walls. The schach was too far away from those walls. You don't use as much of the wall that's in line with the schach. If you've got a schach just in the middle, and the walls are in that corner, it won't help you. The walls are over there, the schach's over there. So maybe the walls cross over the schach area, so you're sitting under the schach, and you can see the wall there. The wall's to the side, that's no good. Which again, very common problem. People build, and they've got the rim around the door, the door's open, they look, I've got on either side of the door, 7 tefachim. Yeah, but the schach's in the middle, you've got supports for the roof, the schach's in the middle, you got to always check up. Windows, we discussed, if they're open, even if you have a window which is kosher, if it's open, you can run into problems. You always check up every single window, can you open it on sukkahs? The walls, of course, have got to be solid walls, which is not so negated by an inbuilt sukkah. You have solid walls. But this is when you get to canvas sukkahs. If the walls move, then usually it's not kosher. Different types of canvas, sometimes they put strings in. If the strings in, it could be okay if they're with the lovet. Sometimes they don't have strings in. But you've got to make sure it's a proper solid structure. And as we said, it's got to be, this is your house. Like we said, really, your actual house you live in all year, is kilo, it's not there, it's locked up, the lights are off, it's on the gear, and you sukkah's your place to live. I remember I came to someone's house. It was a long story, I was flying in and I had a connection. I ended up in someone's house, somewhere in England. And I came to his house and he offered me some cake. He said, here, would you like to, you know, have some cake? I said, yeah, great. Where's the sukkah? He was in the backyard. I went to the back garden. Couldn't see a sukkah anywhere. I came back in. Where's it? He goes, just there, just there. I went outside. I couldn't see anything. Big back garden. He goes, no, over there. Then I saw it was one of these little pop-up hamster sukkahs. It was like blowing in the wind. It was almost down. And he told me, yeah, stay inside. Once you stay inside, it'll stay, because then it'll be solid from your weight. So I just took, of course, as I said, I didn't want to say to him, I was going to ask him, how do you sleep in this? It's quite small. You know, it's quite brave of you to sit in this little flimsy thing. I'm quite impressed. This is where you sit the whole 7 days and sleep every night. Kol hakavod to you. But I didn't say anything to him. But these sukkahs, I don't know, can you live in them? I was actually in the Safari Park here last Chol HaMoed, and someone popped up one of these sukkahs. So, like we said, you're already subject to huge machlokes. If it's not roi for achila, sheina, and shtia, it's not, you can't eat, sleep, and drink in it. It's already, well, shechonar, you could say it's machlokes, but shechonar passes it's possible, and they're gone, and taz, and all that, afterwards, say it's possible, it's a shittah, it's kosher, big we pass it's possible. So that was the first thing, is the sukkah possible? Then he put the schech on this little hamster sukkah, and he told me, my kid went inside, wanted to eat, and he told my son, careful, don't move, because you move, the schech will fall straight down. And then the funniest bit was, sorry? Yeah, it depends on the location. If you have the marshal there, someone was advertising yesterday a three-walled sukkah that you could put in your car. Now, this sukkah has got three walls in it. Will you sleep in a wall sukkah with three walls? So it depends. If you put it in your backyard, or you hire a security guard in front, or whatever you do, then no problem. But if you had placed the sukkah in the middle of the open area with three walls, and you would never sleep like that, the sukkah would be possible from the Shulchan Aruch. It's not right for all three things. So in Ochanami, but as long as you're happy to sleep in it. If you're not happy, you're in this hard desert, it's beating down the sun, or you're in Siberia and it's too cold, you've got a problem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, you've got to always set up your sukkah in a way that's roi for everything. If you set up in a way that's not roi for everything, in your location, yeah. So if you were someone's on here, he wouldn't mind sleeping in a three-walled sukkah in his back garden. Great. It's already Kadavka on three walls. You want in the air. I don't know what you... Yeah. You've got to always... Yeah. So if you take the sukkah and put it in the wrong location, it won't be good. Put it in the middle of... There was a chalet and they had in Gulliver's World a sukkah there a few years ago, 3 years ago. They had a problem with a sukkah with three walls. And they were selling food there. Now, would you sleep in that sukkah with three walls? So if it's full of all your family, you don't mind. There'll be a security guard. No problem. If you're the only guy there, you wouldn't sleep like this. And maybe you can't eat in it. You would always check. If it's all sukkah, you can't do all three things. Eating, drinking, and sleeping is possible for anything. Unless there's one difference. If it's EF Shabininach, it's not Shaykh to solve this problem. In Siberia, it's so cold, it can never be sorted out. Unless you go to a brick structure with a roof on and a huge fireplace, there's no way to sleep in such a sukkah, then it's okay. Because I did it the best, it's Shaykh to do. But if you could have sorted out different, then it's no good. So just tell you the end of the story, it gets even more amusing with this sukkah in the safari park. So the song came over and said that he wanted to sit in the sukkah and make a lay shave. So I didn't say anything. And he said to the friend, he didn't realize all he has is sushi. The friend said, don't worry, I have some Mazonis bread for you. He gave him Mazonis and a lay shave. So that was the end of the funny ending to the story. The man of Shalas he put himself into. But these sukkahs, I don't know, is there any tzad that's kosher? It's hard to say they're kosher. That's why we're back to where we started. And an inbuilt sukkah is a big hiddle because you're comfortable and everything's great and beautiful. But you must check out that everything's still kosher. You can have a ledge, you can have a skirting board, you have anything that can change it, and be a complete game changer, and the whole sukkah could be possible. You can always check out. So, like we said, the walls of these, if you do use a canvas sukkah, it must be Omid Rukh Mutsuya, a regular wind, right? You all know what that is here in Manchester. It's got to be able to stand, and the walls mustn't flap. Once the walls flap, you're running into shilas. The eight is you put strings, a lot of them can be strings or bars, metal bars, then it's okay. As long as you've got these bars, every three tefachim, it's okay. But if there's no bars, just the actual canvas. And it flaps, you've got big shailas. So that's the walls of the sukkah moving. Roif is sleeping, like we said. Now, the halachas of what you allow, tzchach posel around, are very, very complicated. Just very bekitza, you can go and measure. And that is, if you have less, 20, let's be machme all the way we can, 23 centimeters or less around the side, then there's no problem. The kosher sukkah, you can sit there, you can sleep there, you can eat there, all the way till the walls, no problem. Once you have more than 23 centimeters between the wall and the schach, then the fun begins. There's different shittas, and what? Three tvachim, there's machleks where it's three or four tvachim. Once you get larger than that, usually you can't sit underneath that, but it's still kosher, because you've got Devin Akuma, we know you're allowed four tefachim, four hammer, all the way around. So you have up to 190 one, let's be mechme, 191 centimeters around the side, it's lakasha. Once you have more than that, then you're running into big problems. And you got, like we said, you got to check up. A lot of times you have schach to the end. You don't realize that on top of the schach, you've got something sticking up. And it's all small gear with marpesets sticking out. But even the way these different sukkahs are built, sometimes the schach goes further onto the roof than the actual area that you can see the sky. So your schach looks like it goes all the way to the wall. The first bit, beginning, there's bricks on top of it. You can always check up exactly what's going on. And so on, sukkahs. I looked at it and everything looked beautiful. I went upstairs and I checked out the bedroom window and looked down and I realized things are not so beautiful. His schach went from wall to wall. I thought, wow, this is great. And then I realized there was an inbuilt sukkah. How do you have schach wall to wall? Doesn't make sense. I went upstairs and saw that he had support for the schach under the roof. The schach went wall to wall. But on top of the schach, all the way around was the rim. So the actual kosher schach was only in the middle section. How far was it in the middle section to the wall? It was quite far. So you got to always check up. The area which is kosher means sky comes straight down on your schach. That area is what's kosher schach. From there to the wall, how much gap do you have? And like we said, radiators and sinks could change everything. Then you come to a big shadow which is very negeh by inbuilt sukkahs. And nice people leave the schach on the whole year round. It's fine, it's safe, you have a good roof, it's waterproof, beautiful. Now, if you don't live in that sukkah bichlal, you don't enter it besides sukkahs. The only time you enter it is sukkahs, once a year, then all you have to do is mechalish badava, which means you take one big chunk of schach, lift it up, put it down, and you're okay. A tefach, brum tefach, either a square tefach, or a piece that goes one into the other, you lift it up, you're okay. The problem is most people use their sukkahs the whole year round. They go in and out, storage, so this is the dining room, it's the Pesach kitchen, it's the extension, they use it for different things. If you use your sukkah the whole year round, and your schach is on, then the schach is possible min hatur to use the way it is. Rather, you can't just be mechash badava. You have to basically put the schach back on. Now, you don't have to take it off and on. Rather, you can lift the entire schach up. It's not sitting on the sukkah, it's just in your hands. And then it can be a tiny millimeter. As long as you've lifted it up, and then you put it back down, the whole schach, the entire schach. You have two mats, three mats, all different types. You've got to make sure the entire thing is lifted up in a way that's not kosher. You put it back down, and then you're okay. That is if you live in it the whole year, which is very, and again, many people do live in it the whole year. It's a big job taking schach off and on, so they leave it on the whole year. So every year he's lifting up the entire schach and put it back down, and then your sukkah is now kosher. If not, your sukkah is possible in a tayya. Not sure, it's a chumrah, it's possible. You could be sitting in, you can come to someone's sukkah, he says, yeah, my sukkah is possible. Can you tell me why? You look around, you'll never work out why. The schach was left on year to year, he lived underneath it, the sukkah is possible in a tayya. Therefore, you must be aware. What do you mean,
Yeah,
I'll need the mezuzah as well if you use it the rest of the year. Yeah, as a shayla, if the sukkah falls down on chalamoid, can you put it up with the bracha? Because now you're potter. But then you use the room the whole year round. So shayla, mezuzah. But you only need the mezuzah if you live in it the whole year. But you've got to be aware of the... Now, many times as well, people have very nice sukkahs, everything's beautiful, great, dandy, no problems. But if you go to a shop, restaurant, want to get an Eretz Yisrael, where they have these sukkahs all over the place, you come to eat out, buy a slice of pizza, go to the sukkah. Now, these sukkahs are usually very, very exciting. Because there's all sorts going on there. I had a friend who used to always come with these zip ties. And whenever he went to eat out, he used to put a few zip ties around, swap the sukkah for them, lift up, stand on a chair, lift up the whole schach, put it back down. He knew it was kosher now, no problem at all. If they let you do that. But then you have no problem at all. But to walk into one of these sukkahs, you've got to be careful. I've seen many times that people come, goyim come, Arabs come, set up for them. They put the schach on, then they put the walls on afterwards, which is possible. It's got to be the walls and the schach. There's many different things they do. Which is actually going to get inbuilt sukkah as well. If you have an inbuilt sukkah and you need a support on one side, a wall, or people put a board or something there on one side, you must put that before you put the schach on. If you put the schach on and then put the walls up, there's no good. So you have to always check exactly what you're doing. The mile of the sukkah is one big advantage of the sukkah over, I think, any other halacha, and that is that it's very easily rectified usually. Sometime he called the Rav round Mamsh Erev Yontov, 10 minutes for Yontov. He met the Rav outside on the way to Mincha, he called him inside, and he saw the sukkah was possible. What should I do? So the guy had chairs which were high back chairs. That means the back of the chair went all the way to the floor. And they were a meter high. So the Rav lined them up at the side of the sukkah. You've got a new wall, 10 tochim high, row of 10 chairs. You got a nice big wall. And that wall was very easy to sort out problems of a sukkah. No, as long as you use gadasik, it goes all the way up. You imagine it goes all the way up as long. Yeah, you had to pull in the chairs, obviously, to make sure you hit the schach straight on, which is another big chair. He had to put the schach. Yeah, you'd have to, yeah, you're right. I don't know why I didn't hear this from him, but I assume, I hope, that he stood up and quickly gave the whole schach a shove all the way up and back down. Yeah, he'd have the problem. But usually it's very easy to have a problem with sukkah. Worst case, you get a piece of wood, which is 70 by a meter, and you can put it wherever the problem is, screw it into whatever you need to put it, and put it against two chairs, which you can't move in a regular wind. If it would be outdoors, then that'd be okay, no problem. It's usually very easy to rectify a problem of sukkah. You must always be aware. So you come to a restaurant, usually You can sort it out. A couple of whatever, I don't know, you salivate, just stick the walls, make sure everything's secure, nothing's moving through walls. You're worried the schach went on first, fine, stand up, lift the schach a bit, you're okay. Very swa soka. But you must make sure to take a sort out when it needs sorting out. A little bit about schach, there's all different shadows regarding schach, many shadows regarding schach. The best is bamboo sticks, or you haven't had these giant palm leaves. Those are the two best schach you can ever use. Mats, which are made out of bamboos, are also okay. There was a big nidden when they first started, back and forwards, till they got it exactly right. But these mats, it's very important to know, it's kedai to buy with a heksher, because many times people see them in all sorts of shops. They sell them for gardening, they sell them for blinds. People buy them in IKEA and B&M, all different shops that they sell them. Now, if you buy it from a goy, you're entering big shilas. There's many starting that it's possible, for many different reasons. It's not pasha is possible, it could be as it's said, it's kosher, but pasha is possible for more than one reason, more than a few reasons even. There was kedai to buy the one with the heksher, even though it costs, as usual, many more times the price of the great one for the goyish shop. This kedai to buy the one with the heksher because you're entering many shops with the goyish one. And one with the heksher, even that, there's many types of different hidurim. If you are going to buy a mat, find out which is the best sort of mat to buy. But those mats, generally speaking, are kosher. Most greenery you can use, as long as it doesn't shrivel up or smell bad. A big problem with mats and all greenery is flies. There's different ways to check. If it is infested, then you can spray it. But you must watch out for that, because sukkah is Mitzvah Daraisa, you do it or don't do it. But to eat a fly, which is many lavim, is much worse than missing out on a Mitzvah Zay. Therefore, if you do use any of these green things, or even your mats, kedai to, there's different halakhma, you bang them and check them.
The problem of rain getting through on a mat.
Rain getting through?
What
are you worried? The rain doesn't get through? So I can tell you firsthand, rain gets through mats. Yeah, and wood wool as well, is lechatzchila. There's no problem with wood wool. There is a shaila regard to people sell straw now. People put straw on. The Taz is not so happy with straw. It's hard to say it's possible, but if you have a choice, even though wood wool is, I think, about 12 times the price, but it's kedai if you want one or the other to use wood wool. But straw, again, we're not saying it's possible, but it's kedai to use wood wool if you can rather than straw. Schach that flies away, of course, is going to be a problem because you have sukkah to be Baruch Mitzuyah. Morning again, it's all where they have, or here we've got a sukkah which the schach's on top, not an inbuilt sukkah where the schach has dropped, it's inset within the frame of the roof. Rather, you have schach on top and it flies away. Many times you wake up in the morning, you go check, you see a mat of schach on the floor, it's big and large like a kite, catches the wind. Therefore, you can tie them down, but you should tie them down with something that's kosher schach. So the actual ribbon that the schach, sometimes the new kindness comes with spare strings, you can tie it down. Or you put a big piece of wood on top, even though a wood would be possible sometimes for schach, as a marriage would be kosher, you can put it on top, no problem. Usually you can put it on top. Could I have to check out? But make sure that mat doesn't fly away. Once your mat flies away, even if it's on, it's possible. So you gotta always check out that there's nothing flying off your sukkah. There's a famous shadow in Maimid. Everyone knows there's something called the Chaznish sukkah. I remember someone came to me once and said he thought the Chaznish was an esrog. He didn't realize the Chaznish was a sukkah. And then he found out later the Chaznish is a length. Chaznish sukkah means the Chaznish has a chumrah by sukkah, that everything that's supporting the schach has to be kosher schach. And that means not only the actual supports, rather the supports of the supports, all the way down to the floor. Except brick. Brick is kosher because brick, no one's going to make a mistake and use it for schach. But anytime you use metal or screws, it's not a chaznish sukkah, which is a chumrah to do. You can die to if you can. If you can't, it's also okay. But that's the chumrah of the chaznish. Everything's supposed in the schach. That means if I were to evaporate all metal within this structure, would your schach stay where it was? Or plasterboard, anything with no kosher schach. If it would stay where it was, great. If it's dependent on a screw, or a bar, or RSJ, or anything like that, then it's not a chaznish sukkah. But it's l'kosher, it's kosher even according to the chaznish, which is not l'chat chila. Anything else we missed out? Quite a lot, but I think we've run out of time. Okay, we'll leave it there. Добрый вечер.